This book is called The Song of Songs. It's the best of all songs, and it's a love song. There are many pictures here of the love that is between husband and wife, but it is a picture of the church and the love that the Lord has for every one of His redeemed people, and that reciprocal love that ought to flow out of the heart of a Christian as the bride to the Savior, the one who has loved us. Men, you may have heard me earlier praying that we would love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. If you can say today that you have matched that love, your wife is married to a perfect man. The Lord Jesus is the lover of our souls. He is the one who came from heaven, went to the cross, and died in our place. And as we take the cup and bread today to remember the death of the Lord Jesus, it's not just facts of a man on a cross. It's not just facts of Roman soldiers and their cruelty. It's not just facts of Jesus expiring unto death and being taken down and laid in a tomb. It is the heart of the Savior behind it all. And here as we come to this Song of Songs, or Song of Loves, as it may be called, you have the bride saying, "Kiss me," with the kisses of His mouth, "for thy love is better than wine." Now, to the Oriental, kisses meant different things, and there were different ways to kiss. But here is the kiss of the Savior on the mouth. It is that deepest display of affection that the Lord may give to His people. In the New Testament, we read of that love in very direct terms, in texts like Romans 5:8, "God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we must not only know that, but delight in that love. Come to enjoy the wonderful, wonderful love of the Lord Jesus. There's another text in Romans 8:39, "The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus," in union with Christ Jesus. It's a love that the unconverted sinner will never know. The wicked, worldly man or woman thinks it odd that we talk about the love of Jesus. If you go to SpurgeonGems.org to read some of his sermons, you will find at the bottom of every page, "Tell someone today how much you love Jesus." I hope you can do that. And my prayer is that at the close of this communion service, that you will be able to go and tell your family and friends just how much you love the Lord Jesus. By way of introduction, let us consider the source of this Song of Loves. You'll see in verse 1 that it is Solomon's, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Now, it's the best of poetry because it is the best of all subjects. If you're writing a poem or a verse of literature, you want to choose a heart-stirring theme. You don't write a poem about a gate or a post or a rock. You write a poem about the love story, the affections, the delights, the emotions, the desires of the human heart. And here we have in this Song of Songs, this introduction, this love song written by the wisest of men. We're told that he wrote 1,005 proverbs, and every one of them are profitable. Now, of course, it is the Holy Spirit who empowered Solomon to be the penman of this message, to convey to us something of the infinite love of the Savior for our souls. And that's what we seek to do as we come to this book. Now, I have quoted a couple of texts already from the book of Romans. The book of Romans really is a book about logic. It is about A leads to B and B leads to C. But here in this book, it's a love song and it's subjective. It's not so much in the head as it is in the heart. Oh, there are many people that make a profession of the Lord Jesus with their lip, or they say they know about him in their head, but there is no enjoyment of Jesus' love within their souls. What a kind of a Christian does that make? Someone that's learned about Jesus, but not in love with him? Someone who can profess, I know about Jesus, but can you really say, I want to tell you how much I love my wonderful Savior. Now, this book, Song of Solomon, is to be very carefully studied. It is to be kept in check because it is poetry and because it is symbolic, picturesque, and so we do not get our doctrine from such portions of the Bible. But we go to the clear passages of the Bible, and we bring the truths that we know about God sending his Son into the world. Like John 3:16, for God so, can I say that again? God so, let me get higher. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And here we get the picture of this in the language between husband and wife. Now in this verse 2, you will see that the statement is, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And here we have the believer's strong desires to experience the Savior's love. I hope that you have that strong desire today. Maybe you're the one that I spoke of in Psalm 9, verse 10, feeling the Lord has left or forsaken you, but rather yet you are still seeking him because you cannot live without the fellowship, the enjoyment of the Savior in your life. At times you say, I'm not going to read this Bible anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. But then you're drawn back and you are stirred. I must seek my Lord and enjoy his love. Well, ponder with me then the request of the spouse. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This request is filled with earnestness to experience the Savior's love. Now, Matthew Henry wrote this. All gospel duty is summed up in our kissing the Son. You know that Psalm 2, verse 12? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. Everyone is to love the Lord Jesus. That includes everyone. Everyone born into this world in the image of God. Everyone with a soul, everyone that has the intelligence to know there is a God whom we are accountable to, we are to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mr. Henry went on to say, as the father of the prodigal kissed the son when he returned a penitent, it is a kiss of peace. This is symbolic of that union, that fellowship, that reconciliation that is enjoyed. And kisses are opposed to wounds. And so are the kisses of grace to the wounds of the law. It's not enough to say, I know the Ten Commandments. I know that I'm guilty. I know that I have sinned. you must enter into a new relation, a love relationship with the Lord Jesus. Think of John, the beloved disciple. Mr. Spurgeon said that the Lord has his elect, but then he has his elect of the elect. He had his 70 disciples whom he sent out, and then he had the 12 disciples that were in the inner circle, and then he had the three, Peter, James, and John. And then there was John, the beloved disciple, the one who enjoyed the most of Jesus' love. That's the kind of Christian you and I need to be, like John, the beloved disciple, enjoying that close heart relationship with the Savior. No wonder John is called the Apostle of Love. Now, what must it have been like for John to be in the fullness of friendship with the Lord Jesus? I say it was very sweet. I say that it was very powerful. Now, Jesus, of course, is love in the flesh, incarnate. He is God in the flesh, the perfect man who displayed all the love of God in human form. And the gospel brings every Christian into direct and personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We know him. It talks about whom having not seen, we love. That's the miracle of our conversion. Once our hearts loved this world, now we love Jesus, the Son of God. And I must ask you, is this your Christianity? Or is it all in a library? Or is it in your head? Does it get to your heart? I pray today that as we dispense this communion, as we feast on what our Lord Jesus displayed at the cross, the love of God, love so high, so wide, so deep, beyond comprehension, that just a drop of that love will fill your heart today. I pray the Holy Spirit will work that. I cannot give that to you. I can preach what's in the Bible. I can tell you of the Savior, but you must trust him. You must enjoy him and enter into his heart's experience. This is what makes a real Christian. And this is what makes Christianity real. Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts, but rather it is your own deepening, growing love, flowing into your heart and flowing out to the Lord Jesus. Now back to this request, this text, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Do you notice this request is for a repeated demonstration of love? Here is the ongoing life of the believer. One kiss is not enough. Isn't that right? When you met the sweetheart of your life, one kiss is not enough. When your husband says to you, well, I kissed you last week, there's something wrong with that love in the heart. And when you say to me, well, I went to a prayer meeting last year, I sought the Lord last week. No, the real experience of the Christian is, I want to know the deep, deep love of Jesus in my heart all the time and all the way, because this is the power of faith. Paul said, faith worketh by love. And if you are a believer, if you're walking by faith, you are enjoying that love in your soul. And it's that love that strengthens you. It motivates you. It gives you passion and grace in your soul to live for the Lord Jesus each and every day. I don't have time to go through the prayer of Paul the Apostle in Ephesians 3 as he prayed for the Ephesians that they would be able to comprehend the love of Christ. Read that prayer, Ephesians 3. It is the real deep personal experience of the Savior. This request is not only for repeated kisses, but for full recognition of the Savior's love. Now, I said earlier that Orientals, that is, people who lived in Bible places, Bible lands, that they put a lot of emphasis on the nature or the type of kiss. There was to kiss the feet, and that was a show of tremendous respect. That means when someone came into your home and you were willing to kiss their feet, you were being the ultimate host of your guest. To kiss the hand would also show devotion. To kiss the cheek, which is very often and very common among Oriental people, that is the kiss of fondness. But here this bride is looking for that kiss upon the mouth. It is the seal of that true, personal, wholesome love of the Lord Jesus. Now, there are some people in the church and they want to keep the Lord at a distance. They want their Christianity to be placarded but not really lived out in their own individual experience. They're happy to be a church person. If we had a choir, they might like to sing in the choir. If there was an election, they would say, oh, I'm willing to stand for office in the church. But where is that deep, deep desire for the love of the Lord Jesus? Now, I wonder today, are you so in love with the Lord and seeking full love of Jesus in your soul? If you answer no, then we have a little bit of digging to do. Does your no mean that your love has lapsed and you want it to be restored? Or does your no mean that you've never loved the Lord Jesus? Does the no mean that you're not even interested in loving the Lord Jesus? Oh, I'm interested in being an upright citizen. I'm interested in being moral, but I don't want to be this Jesus lover in my soul. Then I could not bid you to come and display that love by taking the bread and juice today, because there is no love in your heart for the Lord, and you're not desiring it at all. Now, if you are saying that your love for the Lord Jesus has lapsed, once you walked with Jesus, once you talked with Him, once you felt His power, once you felt the joy, once the Christian life was a great delight in your soul, but I have lost my step somewhere along life's road, then I do bid you come to this table. Because this is a means of grace to strengthen your faith. This is a way by which you might have in your heart the fire of love reignited and that blessedness restored to your heart. And many times in the Christian church, it is at the communion where God's people have felt the sweetness of Jesus' love and felt that restoring balm of Gilead applied to the hurts and the wounds of their souls. And I pray for that today. Oh, that it might be revived in you. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. That seals. That settles. That's more than talk. More than talk. And as we know, a kiss can settle it all. And to know the love of Christ in your soul, that's the best of all of answers. Now, time is almost gone. I must have spoken to the boys and girls far too long today. I've got to stop that. I've got to be careful what time I give to the boys and girls in their message, because I'm going to run out of time here. But there's a number of things about this love that's described. You'll notice it says, for thy love is better than wine. Now, wine is a stimulus. It's a stimulus. In Oriental Bible times, wine was given to the weary and to the fainting. It was a pick-me-up. Now, we're not talking about distilled liquor here. We're not talking about hard drink. We're talking about the juice of the vine. The wine is a stimulus. And I assure you today that if you receive the kiss of the Savior's love firmly applied to your heart in this communion service, your Christian life will be stirred to a higher level. It's a stimulus. Look at chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. You'll see the longing of the spouse for her husband. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Maybe that's a description of your heart today. I sought him, but I found him not. And she said, I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. Oh, what blessedness! When the soul that is longing and yearning for that true heart fellowship relationship with the Savior, that you can say, I found him. Wouldn't it be wonderful for some cold, dead heart to be able to say here at this morning communion service, I found him whom my soul loveth. Lord, let it be. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit, let it be. That men, women, young people who have lost something will today find the pure and personal love of the Savior. Now, wine is a stimulus. Wine is also a comfort. It's a type of the influence of the Holy Spirit. We're told that we're not to be drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And his work is to reveal the Lord Jesus and make him real, to make the promises and the blessings to be applied deep down in your heart. That we can sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, every grief to bear. In sorrow, and I know some of you sorrow, I know some that are given to a disposition of dryness of heart. May you find the comforter coming to stir you. In sickness, how difficult it is to keep up that love with the Savior when we are unwell, especially in a protracted time of sickness that goes on, and we wonder, will we ever be well again? Then we need to yearn that the Lord will kiss us with the kisses of his mouth. Also in temptation, when you feel the devil near, when you feel that sin is getting in on you, when you feel you're weakest, when you feel that you're not able to stand up against the surge of a temptation against your Christian life, then the kisses of the Savior's mouth will be like wine. Wine. What does it say? I have to go back to the verse here. Better than wine. Better than wine. So it's not wine. You get it? It's not wine. We're not even talking about real wine here. We're talking it's better than wine. The Christian has something that the man in the pub doesn't have. The Christian has grace that the world doesn't know. We have the love of Jesus, the kisses of his mouth. Wine is also a flavorer. Mothers, wives, you might use it in cooking, I don't know. It's a flavorer. Wouldn't the love of Jesus flavor your life? Wouldn't your wife know that you've been with Jesus? Or your husband know that you've been with Jesus? Wouldn't your family know? Wouldn't your friends know? This person has a touch of the Lord on their life, the kiss of the Savior's love. The love of Jesus sweetens every cross in life. Yes, the Christian is asked to do hard things. The Christian is asked to endure the reproach of the world and the scorn of wicked men. But the love of Jesus burning in your heart will only confirm to you that you are His and the Lord is yours. It sweetens the crosses in life. And it shall be worth it all when we see Jesus. We see Jesus. I think of the night that Daniel was cast into the lion's den. Remember that night when Darius couldn't sleep and Daniel was in the den all night. He knew the love of the Savior had shut the lion's mouths. And the three friends, when they were cast into the fiery furnace, there was the fourth, the figure of the Son of Man. What an amazing thing to have Jesus with you in the troubles of life. What a comfort it brings. And so this communion table is for every believer to enjoy. If you can say, I love Jesus and I know He loves me, then take this cup and bread today. Take it. Take it in faith. Take it as an expression of your thanks and to express your reciprocal love unto Him. And say, Lord, I want to be in this to display my love to the Lord Jesus. You may have been a prodigal in a far country, but when you return, you receive the Father's kisses, the ring, the sandals, the coat. And we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Now, I've been preaching to Christians, believers, and they know these things. And you might be saying, well, I'm an outsider because I don't understand what you're preaching about. And I've never had my heart touched in this way. Yes, this table puts a difference between the believer and the unbeliever. The gospel will do that. But you are invited. While I would say to you, if you are not willing to love the Lord and surrender your life to the Lord, you have no part in this table. But if you yearn in your heart, I would love the Lord, then I bid you to trust Him now. Even as you're seated, just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for they are better than wine. I must have the love of Jesus in my heart. Will you do that? Just pray where you're seated and ask the Lord to be your Savior. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for Your grace to us. We thank Thee for the love that we may speak of. And Lord, we can't even preach it. We can't even tell the story well of Jesus and His love. Lord, it is better felt than telt. We're bidden to taste and see that the Lord is good. We ask Thee to breathe upon you every heart. Bless this ordinance, this communion, this bread, this juice. Not only sanctify it or separate it unto a godly use, but, O Lord, may our faith be stirred. May our hearts be moved. O, forgive us for our coldness, Lord. Sweeten us today with Your love poured in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I'll ask our elders to come and join me at the table, please.